sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're tuned in to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And today, my guest is the Dakini Shima. And Shima immersed herself in a deep initiation and awakening of inner Dakini while living with her tantric master for 5 years. She now supports beloveds on the journey home to their true nature and full expression of being. Her first tantric film, Lala the Buddha, A Journey Home to Love, will be premiered online on the 25th of September this year. And that's how we met each other. So welcome to the show, Shima. It's great to meet you. Shima contacted me and let me know that she had done a film in India, and that's how we were connected because, as you all know, I did Tantric Tourists. And so I said, oh, my God, you have to come on the show. So here we are.
Yeah, it's so wonderful to meet you.
Thank you. It's wonderful to meet you, too. And as I've commented, no, I commented off air, and I'm going to comment it on air, that you look absolutely ravishingly beautiful. And it looks like you have a halo or a garland of flowers around your head, and you just look very mystical. And I guess the way a Dakini should look.
Well, you know, Dakinis, we change a lot. You know, we can also look really fierce and anything but mystical, whatever it takes to help someone just fall in love with what's real.
Yeah. Exactly. Awesome. I'm glad you pointed that out. I imagine some don't change, so I'm glad that you pointed out that you do, and there are many who do. You have to become the character or the archetype of what it is somebody needs to flush out the stuff that's blocking them. So I imagine that takes many forms, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure you do more than imagine it. I'm sure you know it. You've worked with many people, too, and you know what it takes just to help someone drop something that it's time for them to drop, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Totally. Well, let's talk about your film for a minute, then we'll come back to, like, actually help. Well, you know what? No, I have some questions, which is, first of all, living with a tantric master, like, not that many people have done that. You know, yeah. I say to people when they come to me, and sometimes they live with me, I say, you know, you're living with a tantric master, so you can't just be some regular old jamoke in my house. You have to have responsibilities, and you have to have reverence, and so on. So how did you meet a tantric master, and where was the tantric master, and how did you fall into that? I mean, did you go searching, or it was just something that happened?
Well, you know how these things are when it's really meant to come to you. It just I just landed up being in this man's house. I was looking for work, actually. I changed cities, and I was looking for some work. And someone said, go meet him. Maybe he can help him some stuff. So I just landed up in his house. There he was. And I didn't land up working for him, but I knew in that moment that I was going to learn a great deal from him. And yeah, so I got taken to him, really. And then, you know, slowly over the years, I got to know him, and then I ended up living with him for 5 years. Yeah.
And so he became your master, but also you studied with him, but were you in a relationship, or was it really, okay, all relationships have this spiritual component to them. We attract to us that which we need and that which is the next step for us, but sometimes that's a romantic relationship and sometimes that's not. Was this a romantic relationship or?
Well, you know, it could look like a romantic relationship because there was sex and there was love and there was sharing and there was time together. But he just comes from a very different place. He holds a very different space. So he really, you know what Osho speaks of relating.
Yeah.
He really does that. He relates. But I've never met a man where when I made love to him for the first time and every time after that, when I walked away, I felt absolutely no hooks in me. There was no feeling of attachment or having to go, you know, it was just this feeling of rain pouring through me without any hooks. So he doesn't do relationship at all. He doesn't do like these, it's just not at all, but yet I felt so completely seen by this man.
Mm-hmm.
I felt him so completely present with me and listening to me and interested, like deeply interested in me. And I think at the time, you know, as a woman that had had strange childhood experiences with her father, but in the sense of him being absent from my life,
mm-hmm.
to have a man so deeply present, really present, was such a gift. And it started to wake up all kinds of dormant aspects of who I am. So, I mean, over 5 years, it was like living with this raging fire.
Wow, that's an amazing experience. And very few people have had that. I mean, that's... You know, that's something to remark about. And I hope that, well, obviously you're giving that back now. You're giving that back to other people in terms of your practice and what you do. So it's amazing. It's quite a nice description of how it was. No hooks. I love that. And I love that too. Like, don't make it into a thing. Don't make your relating into a thing, Osho always said. Because when you make it into a thing is dead. It's dormant. And a relating is ongoing, moving, constantly growing, constantly building.
So beautifully said, Laurie. Yeah, it was very much like that. And I'm not saying it was always beautiful or always blissful. In fact, sometimes it was quite crazy and quite very strong on my body because a lot of things were just falling away, you know, the false of relationship and of love. So sometimes for me it was very traumatic. Yeah, it was never just one thing. It was really what you're speaking of now, that flow, which for me is very feminine as well. You know, where you spoke of, where we spoke in the beginning, that our faces can change.
Yeah.
And our whole appearances can change. I mean, look how different you are compared to how your photo looks or how you look in your movie. You know, it's so beautiful.
Thank
this,
you.
This flow. And so that's what we did in relating, yeah.
That's so great. So, tell people where you are. Like you're down under somewhere. Are you? Where are you?
I live in Johannesburg in South Africa.
Okay, good.
Yeah, which is actually a country. You know, a lot of people think South Africa is like a Northern America. You know, like North America. It's not North America. It's a country.
Yes, South Africa really is a country.
Yeah.
I think since Nelson Mandela, I think people actually get it that it's a country. I don't know. Hopefully they do. If they don't, like, really?
All right, great.
So I want to ask you some questions. Like, tell us, so you have this movie, a tantric film, Lala the Buddha. And I haven't seen it yet. I can't wait to see it. And I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know what it's about. I mean, I know what Tantric Tourist is about. And I can just tell you that for me, I never thought of making it into a film, but I was approached by a British film company that said, when you take people to India, we want to film you. And so what I came to realize was that I was taking people to India, especially North Americans, but I took some Brits as well, to India to learn to surrender.
Ah,
they wanted to go and be spiritually enlightened. And so they thought, you know, going to India, they're going to get spiritual enlightenment. And for me, it was like the first aspect of that is having Americans and British people give up control. Because going to India, there's nothing that a Westerner can control in India. Would you agree? You know, like
India. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's like going to the moon. It's a totally different, it's so different. And and people at first, they're like, they struggle with that and they fight with that. And they're like, oh, I want things my way. I have to have room service this way. It has to, and everyone in India goes, yes, madam. Yes, madam. And then they just do what they're going to do. And so by the end of Tantric Tourists, everybody chills out. Like they they drop into their body in Kajuraho and they realize, oh, I don't have to madly control everything. And I consider that step one to spiritual enlightenment, like letting go of control, being in surrender. So that, you know, that's what I came to in making the film Tantric Tourist. And so now you have Lala the Buddha. Tell us about that.
Well, I'm just, my heart is so open at what you just said, because it just feels like you're speaking such beautiful truth. And what a gift. Wow, what a gift to give people. And I've never done what you've done. I've never taken people to India. Mm. But I think it's a, wow, if you want someone to surrender, that's, takes them to, that's beautiful. Exactly. Thank you, Laurie. Wow.
All of them had been students of mine before, pretty much, except for one. Mm-hmm. So they already knew breathing and squeezing. They already knew breathing energy, picking energy up and letting energy down. They knew that. They knew how to eye gaze. They knew how to do those things. But they really, when they got into a place so foreign, so different, and so difficult at first, they were like, oh, yeah, I've taken 6 groups to India. And each time they want to fight. They just, oh, they just want to control. And then they have to let go.
Okay, so that's what happened to me when I filmed Lala the Buddha. What happened to me, yes. Because I went on this, it was like I'm on a mission, okay, because I'm now teaching Tantra, I'm a Dakini, and in Johannesburg, when people came for Tantra sessions, it meant Tantric massage. And for me, the two just weren't the same, you know, it was like Tantric touch could happen, but it wasn't necessarily, so where I was seeing Tantra was more what you're saying now, exactly what you're saying, and I thought, I want to actually make a movie that gives people a truer sense of the authentic Tantra, of what Tantra is really trying to do with us, you know, what it's really trying to shake up, what you just said. So I would like to make a story about that. And I considered what you did as well. I considered, because I think I did it at the same time as you. It was very close in terms of timing. And I had this thought also, something like that. But it didn't feel like the way I wanted to do it. It didn't work out like that. So I went and I just started going to different places in India that had had a lot of tantric kind of energy moves through, like Pune and also Kajuraho, the Himalayas and Varanasi. So I went to those places where it felt like I didn't really even think about it. I just followed the vision, and it felt like those were the places where this really strong energy was. And then some beautiful things started to happen, as they do, you know?
Yeah.
So it was like the energy of where I was started to talk through me until some of I'd like to say the truest stories of Tantra. I mean, what story is true? It always depends who's looking, but it was like it felt like a truth of Tantra itself started to speak through me in a way. So that was really beautiful. And then what was beautiful now, but maybe then, was that surrender you speak of, where I started to get blasted. I got sick. We were in a heat wave. My lover and I, you know, because he was the filmmaker, and we had these creative storms moving through us. That started to happen. It was just, I mean, trying to film, and then people's coming up to me and trying to sell me things while I'm trying to give discourses, and it was really crazy. And my mind was saying, but beloved existence, I'm doing this for you, you know. I'm trying to bring some beauty and truth into the world as your servant. And yeah, you are like wiping me out, you know.
Yeah.
And what happened was like I started to, in a way, shred or unwind or something real, really started to wake up and get shared on the story, which is obviously, you know, Tantra really wants for us is, how can you just be real, you know, just real from the heart, from your truth, just live that without fear. And because all these things, so much was happening to my physicalness, I had to surrender, like you say.
So you have to.
We both had the same journey in the movie, I think. Yeah, for me, it was me that was happening to me. Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a short break right here, and when we come back, we're going to compare notes a little bit because I have some similar experiences. That's how I knew, you know, to take people there. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness, and you're seeing Sex and Happiness, and my guest today is the Dakini Shima, and she made a movie called Lala the Buddha, and we got in touch with each other because we both made movies about being in India. And there's not that many people who can claim that except Bollywood, but Western women don't make that many movies in India, so we have a real bond. So we'll be right back. We're going to talk more about that. Please stay tuned. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Do you long for deep intimacy and connection? Or are you possibly feeling stuck and unsure about how to break free? Maybe there's a lack of power and deep connection in your life. Whatever might be happening with you, I want to tell you how excited I am about the ISTA Level 1 SSSEX training. That's Shamanic Spiritual Sexual Training. That's about to happen in Western Massachusetts, November 17th to the 21st. This is a 7-day experiential residential retreat. Thousands of people in 5 continents have benefited from this training over the past 9 years, and I'm thinking you could be the next one to receive the benefits. During this powerful immersion into shamanic realms, you'll awaken your ability to live and love authentically. In this retreat, you'll explore masculine and feminine energies through shamanic ritual, guided visualization, dance, and breathwork inside of an amazing community. Your reactive patterns will be uncovered and transformed into conscious ways of being, and your heart will finally be free to remain open. Your consciousness will remain present to all there is. You'll awaken into a deep knowing of the self as whole and complete, and you'll be empowered to live life with joy, peace, and pleasure. Why not join me and 2 other highly skilled International School of Temple Arts faculty members, Ohad Ezri and Dawn Sheri? We'd love to have you join us, so please make your reservation now simply by going to Facebook and typing in ISTA, I-S-T-A, USA, hyphen Mass from Massachusetts, Level 1 training, and you'll read more and see more about this amazing spiritual, sexual, shamanic retreat.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, and my guest today is Shima, and she is a Dakini who learned about Tantra through a 5-year relating with a Tantra master, and then she went to India and was being filmed by her lover at the time. This is a different person. The lover who was filming is a different person. And And she was going through all kinds of changes to learn surrender. Although, of course, I'm sure when she went on the beginning of the journey, she didn't know that's what it was going to be. No one does. They go to India and then they go, oh, yeah, this is so exotic. Oh, this is so different. And then you start to have to run to the toilet every 5 minutes. Or, and you don't know which end it's going to come out of. You don't have to go up and sit there forever. So it's happened to me. You know, the first time I went to India, those very things happened to me. I went for 7 weeks by myself. I had a guide, and I didn't quite understand him. He spoke so quickly. He spoke his dialect so quickly. I adore him. He's like my brother now. I mean, we've seen each other so many times. We Skype regularly. But he would say to me, you know, you want to go to Rajasthan? You know, and I would go, I guess. I want to go with this, the itinerary I gave you. And so I went, and I remember being so scared, just going everywhere by myself. I had this driver, and he took me to some place. And I said, are you going to tell me anything about this place? Or are you just dropping me off? And he said, I tell you, madam, don't touch the monkeys. And then that's all. And I was like, okay, I won't touch the monkeys. I didn't know what the place, you know, I know late now what the place was. It was the burial site of Akbar, but I didn't know anything. I was just going, and I had to surrender, and I had to surrender to everything, exactly what you're saying, being completely taken apart and put back together by my inner workings. And then the outer things that were happening to me. So tell us more. So you went through this. It sounds like you went through a health crisis, and you went.
Well, I just wanted to say, I'll come back to my experience in a moment. But when I was just like feeling our meeting and trying to get to know you a little bit to do this and this, I felt in my heart, Laurie, that you're a really brave woman. You know. And just you pointing out there's not many women who go and make movies, as Western women, especially in India.
Right.
I think that's quite brave. Well, I know it is now. And this story, you know, just being dropped in the middle of nowhere by yourself, you know, and just my feeling is anyway, anyone who takes on the tantric path sincerely is a deeply brave human being, you know. And I'm just feeling that in you. And I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's true, and you are too. I mean, it's to be outside of the norm and to be in the norm too. I mean, you know, both and, like, to be able to have both feet, one firmly planted in one place and one firmly planted in another, and then to be also mystical and ethereal when needs be, which has no feet on the ground, which is like flight. Very few people get that. You know, it's so good, the awareness that you have. Very few people get that. They don't necessarily get that about me. They see, you know, a New Yorker, I could tough my way through everything. But I love taking flight. So thank you. Thank you so much.
But you got to be brave to leave the ground.
Yeah.
You know, to go to lands you haven't been before. So that's the only way that you fly.
It's so true. Yeah. So tell a little bit more about what you went through and what you really hope, you know, what did you learn by this process? And then in the next segment, we'll talk about what you hope other people will get.
Okay. Well, for me, it was like a different transcendence in a way, because my body was really having, I can't really describe the agonies happening and the exhaustions and It was like I was at war with something in myself, and the outside world was helping the fury of that war.
Yeah.
And I got to a point where I had to just say, it doesn't matter what goes down. I'm going to get what I came here for. And that's that, you know.
Awesome.
And that was like an initiation. That was like stepping through a major door inside of myself.
Yeah. I can get that.
You know, it was,
you had a strong intention and you weren't going to be stopped.
Yeah, it felt really big because I've had many strong intentions in my life, you know, and achieved that and got that and moved through that. But this was like, it was like a whole new game. Like I could never have imagined it possible. And it's not like, what it just felt was, it felt like an initiation on a very different level in my being, where then a great commitment came to telling these stories of truth. It feels like a whole door opened there for me.
Yeah.
It was a very deep teaching. And it was like, your mind, it doesn't matter what happens, you know, you're not the boss here. We're going to overcome whatever we need to overcome here to get
yes.
the story out.
Yes.
So that was a very big step for me. You know, everybody has their challenges, but that was one, that was the challenge for me.
Yes, sounds amazing. Yeah. It sounds amazing. And that you were clear enough to realize that in the midst of the storm. It's big. It's mm-hmm. very big. So you were prepared.
Yeah.
You were prepared.
So yeah, I mean, just going there is you have to step through quite a few doors to take that step, you know. But, yeah. And just to – I also realized, you know, sometimes when you're in the process of a thing, you have an idea about how you want it to look, which is what you're saying. People have an idea how they want things to go down in India.
Yeah.
So I had an idea how I wanted it to be, how I wanted it to turn out. And that thing that even when it's looking like it's going all wrong – that even is perfect, which you only find out much later. So set that deep trust in the process, and that what you need is going to appear. Because it does.
Yeah.
It really is everything. It's like, that's why I call the film company Existence Films. Because suddenly Existence comes in from the left side, and Existence gives me some music that I need. She just appears. So it was a lot of learning a great trust, Laurie. Really a deep trust in the journey.
That's
yeah.
so great. I wish I had you to narrate my film.
Well, you never know. We could talk.
Yeah, I mean, after the film, you know, I did it a few more times. I brought people.
Oh, I thought you meant another film.
No, yeah. no, but I mean this film, because people, even some of the people who were in the film still don't get it. But I got it, exactly what you're saying. Like, everything that happens definitely happens on purpose, on clear purpose, and it busts up the ego, and it busts up the known, and it shows people how their inner strength and their inner core is so, it's always there. And it can always interact with existence, it can always interact with nature, it can always interact with the environment and surroundings. And we're right there, like everything we know and the truth is right there inside of us. But people, they're so used to masking that and they're so used to things being comfortable or whatever. You know, I'm not even sure what to say about that. But yes, it would have been great to have you to narrate. And now what happens?
Well, you know, maybe it would have been lovely. It's sort of what this movie is me narrating. And then it would have been lovely to have you like interacting and cooking people and poking them a bit, you know, like, and playing with such a playfulness about you. So I could imagine it being a very beautiful marriage.
Yeah, it would be great. Well, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll do another project. Maybe we'll do a project together. Now, I want you to know the last time I was in India, which is a couple years ago, I had a very small group with me. And on the very second night, we arrived in Delhi, and I was with my tailor in the Paraganj, and he said, "Oh, let's go here and eat." You know, and I had a thought about that. I said, "You know, I don't usually eat in places like that." He said, "Oh no, Laurie, look, how many Westerners are here? It's going to be completely fine." I ate, and then we left for Pushkar. I got sick in the market in Pushkar, and I was sick for the entire 2 weeks and was still sick when I came home. And I totally surrendered. I just was like, okay. I had to send my tours. They'd say, what are we doing? I'd say, this morning you're going on a boat in Varanasi on the Ganga. And this afternoon you're doing this. You're going to the monkey temple and you're doing this. And I'm going to my room. Or today you're going to the Taj Mahal and I'm going back to my room. You know, whatever it was we were doing, because I couldn't. I had to totally let it all go. And you know what? It was fine. It worked out great. They were fine. It was terrific. So I haven't been back now. They keep writing and saying, when are you coming back? And I keep going, I don't know.
I'm a little bit nervous of India.
Well, 40 days. It was like, it ended up being about 40 days of being sick.
And that was sure. that's a long time. So
yeah, and it's exhausting. Hey, that really it exhausts the body. That kind of illness, it's just full. Yeah.
But I would see now. I'm on with you right here, and I'm ready to go right back.
Yeah.
So
we'll take our own chef, Laurie.
Oh
let's,
yeah.
Let's be real, David, about it. We'll take our own chef. Get organic.
That would be awesome. Wow. Good idea. Good idea.
Save the body. Just have a few extras so that we, you know, because the thing is, like, when we're doing something like that, we're working really hard. Like, filming is actually very intensive, energetic work. It's not, because it's like, you when you're filming, you're actually talking, you could be talking to hundreds and thousands of people. You know, if it goes out in the world, you could be talking to tens of thousands. There's quite an energetic thing happening, so we'd have to take care of ourselves. That'd be really important.
Yeah. Well, we're
make sure that we're okay.
Just so you know, we're talking to about 100,000 people right now. I just thought I'd give you the scope of it. This show gets about 100,000 downloads a month. So that's how many people we're talking to. Yeah. Something like that. So.
Well, hello, 100,000 people.
Yay.
It's an honor to meet you all. I'm feeling so much love.
Good. Very good.
From Africa.
Yeah. So we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, I want to ask you about what you think people will get when they see the film and a few other things. Okay. Because we have a huge agenda. I don't know that we'll get through all of it, but this is good. So far we're on a great roll.
So, thank you. It's so lovely chatting.
Thank you.
Enjoying very much.
So this is Laurie Handlers and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, and some of you are watching Sex and Happiness, and I'm here with the Dakini Shima, and she's really dedicated her life to taking away the veil for people who really want to become authentic and find out who they truly are. And so we'll be right back. We're going to hear some more about that. Please stay tuned.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Eroticos Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate Dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert, and leads its way back around to other foods. But all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual, very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have
a sensual experience with each person that's participating. In this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States. And what you need is 20 people who would like to participate, and you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come to your and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends. And I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on the show as well, would love to come and paint your servers. So your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com. You are listening to Sex and Happiness,
a show about sex and happiness. And as you all know, I did Tantric Tourists. And so I said, oh, my God, you have to come on the show. So here we are. Okay, so we're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers. I am having the most wonderful time today with Shima. She is a tantrika. She's a dakini. She works with people. And I want to ask you some about your practice and how, and that also how that relates to the film. So in any way you want to do that. So, you know, what form of tantra do you practice? As if I kind of don't care. I really want to know mostly, like, I don't care about the forms and I don't care about lineage. To me, that's not that exciting. Really, how do you dish it up? How do you serve tantra? What do you do? And then how does that relate to the film? Yeah. I mean, I get a sense already from our conversation, but someone else that's listening might need it spelled out.
It's quite a difficult question because I really meet every person very much in the moment, who they are and where they at. You know, so it's definitely not a one formula at all fits all. It's quite the opposite. It's very spontaneous, intuitive. I practice with anyone I'm with in general, but especially in a tantric session, to listen very, very deeply to them. It's, you know, I listen to them so deeply, like they may never listen even to themselves. So I listen very deeply, and then I also feel even beyond the words into the energy itself. So what I'm trying to really stalk or track is what they're not hearing, what they're not listening to, what they're ignoring or in ignorance to. And so I can get clues what they're ignoring of their own being. Because from my own experience, from my own living, what I've loved the most is when more of me awakens, you know, like more of the authentic of me. It's like, oh, I've discovered that. And it doesn't matter if I thought it was like dark or horrible before. Like when you really invite it back, it's like, I've been missing you so much. I thought, you know, that separation from myself when it starts to awaken is just a gift. So I really like to listen very deeply to people to see what they're really ignoring in themselves, what they're refusing and what they're judging and like that. And so that's one aspect of my practice. And then the aspect of my practice where I flow more in maybe into some touch or some physical practice or breath. Touch, especially for me, is again, I meet them and I'm more of the energy of who they are. So I'm really wanting people, I want to meet their energy and I want them to meet the energetic aspect of their being.
Yes.
Because then whole realms open. You know, that it's just open. Something just starts to open where you can breathe. There's space for you to be. And I think the core of this, of my work, and perhaps Lala the Buddha as well, is to invite people to deeply, deeply fall in love with themselves. Deeply. This for me, I think, makes all the difference in the world. To any moment you're relating with yourself or someone else, to what choices we make about the planet, you know? If you deeply, deeply just fall in love, like, oh, I just love this being. It makes all the difference.
It does.
And somehow on our planet, I think it's the biggest challenge.
Yes, it is the biggest challenge. It's definitely the biggest challenge. So that's so awesome. Now I want to invite you to the United States. I'm part of a community where we're all like, and we believe we can live forever. And so we say that when we fall so deeply in love with ourselves, we don't actually have to die. Like, this body doesn't have to go. When we let go of the concept of sin and anything that has to do with death, whether it's in our language or whether it's in the way we treat flesh, when we let go of all that, we really can live forever. And so we want to be the human guinea pigs. So now I'm, after you said all that, I want you to come to the United States as soon as possible.
I've been having urges, Laurie. I had a dream about a week ago or so where I was just like, I want to go now. And I went to the airport, I bought a ticket, and I was off to America. Really, literally, I had this great, I didn't want to plan it. I just went straight to the airport and just got on a plane. Like, you'd catch a bus or something.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, never know. Phoenix. You have to come to Phoenix, Arizona.
Are you in Phoenix?
Yeah, I'm in Phoenix. Yeah.
Wow, that place cooks. It melts in summer. I arrived there in summer once, and it was like smoking hot.
Yes, it's smoking hot.
But Arizona is so beautiful, Laurie.
Yeah.
It's a really beautiful place you live in.
Yeah. A friend of mine was on the phone yesterday from Philadelphia, and she was telling me about her Bikram yoga class and that it was 104 degrees. And I said to her, oh, yeah, it's 104 degrees outside. You can just walk from your house to your car and you do Bikram yoga. We laughed. So, okay, tell me, is there anything else that you want to say to us? How are people going to know how to find you and how to find it?
There's an event on Facebook.
Okay.
It's called Lala the Buddha Online Documentary. I think that's what it's called. But they can just connect with me and I can send them a link if they like. Or you can just, so you can get onto the Lala the Buddha page on Facebook and there's a newsletter link. And you click the newsletter and then I'll send you everything.
Okay.
It's like giving birth, you know?
Yeah.
So I wanted a whole lot of friends and love and energy just to come and help me birth this child into the world, which my deepest hope is that, you know, people will watch it and even if it just affects them a little bit, but I think it'll affect them more or more, I hope.
And
it's just to give them some courage or inspiration on their path or get some insight that clicks something for them. So it's that kind of movie. So you're going to say?
Okay. How long is the film? It's a documentary. How long is it run?
It's an hour and 45.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. All right. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spell it out for people just in case. So you want to go to Facebook and you want to find the page Lala the Buddha, which is L-A-L-L-A, the Buddha, B-U-D-D-H-A. And that way you'll be able to connect with Shima and you'll be able to find out when it's going to be. Can't wait now. Because I'm going to relive a whole bunch of things. I know that I'm going to relive a whole bunch of things seeing this film. So I encourage you all to make yourself find an hour and 45 minutes somewhere where you can stream this film and take a trip with Shima to India and into yourself, because it sounds like it's both and. You go, but you're in. You're going, but you're in, both at the same time. So thank you. Thank you for doing this. Yeah, thank you for connecting with me. Thank you for making this film. And I'm looking forward to seeing you wherever it is. You know, maybe it's in India.
Arizona, Phoenix.
Yeah, maybe it is.
In India.
You have to surrender in Phoenix, too. You have to surrender to the heat.
Laurie, thank you so much. It's been, I've loved chatting to you because I really feel that we've really shared a similar journey. And like I said to you when I reached out to you, I'm loving how you give your love into the world and how you support consciousness and truth and love on this planet.
Thank you so much.
You're so committed, and I deeply appreciate that.
Thank you.
I really appreciate
you. Thank you for seeing me.
Thank you for seeing me.
Okay, well, I say the same. I say namaste to you. You're awesome. You really are.
Yeah.
And I know there's way, way more. I know there's way more. This isn't the last time I'm speaking to you, and this is definitely not the last time everyone's heard from you. The 100,000 people, stay tuned. There's more from this woman.
And I just want everybody to know there'll be an encore viewing of Lala the Buddha, October 10th to 12th, for free. So you should all go there and find this amazing film that we've just been talking about. You can go to lalathebuddha.com. That's lalathebuddha.com.
So everybody, I'm just signing off now for Sex and Happiness. This is Laurie Handlers. You've been listening to me interview my guest, Shima, today. And please tune in next time when I will have another amazing being on this planet doing wonderful work. See you next time.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-